first guest of series four, I'm very excited to say, which is all going to be a focus on women in business, is a lady who only took the giant leap to start her own business during the pandemic in early 2020. Crazy or inspired? Well, we're going to find out. Jessica Stevenson-Clark is a life coach, and through her own experiences and helping support a friend through some very traumatic times, is passionate about working towards helping rewrite the story of women as victims and instead show women as being strong, powerful, and capable of overcoming everything or anything. Her first step was working within the charity sector, giving back to those who most needed it. Becoming a coach was not on her horizon. She's even quoted as saying, "I'm a skeptic of coaching." When life took an unexpected turn and she experienced the power of coaching firsthand, it changed my life and perspective, she says, on the dramatic beneficial effects coaching can have. So, Jessica Elizabeth Coaching was conceived as we were all going through the most extraordinary times. Was that the right decision or not? I'm delighted, Jessica, crazy or inspired, you're going to tell us. Thank you and welcome to the With Tracy podcast today.
No, thank you so much for having me. I didn't realise I was your first guest of the season, so that's really exciting.
You are, you're kicking it off. How great is that? Before I really go into the business questions, I always kind of like to get a bit of background on my guest for those listeners out there, kind of, you know, where did life start for you, that kind of thing.
I am from Edinburgh, which people always think I've got quite a funny accent, and I'm like, no, it's just Scottish. So I grew up in Edinburgh. I'm the youngest of three siblings, and so my poor dad, three daughters, and I think that really that family dynamic was really important for me, and I think sibling relationships are one of the most special, complex, challenging, rewarding relationships there is. So that really hugely shaped me. And I just always knew this kind of like feeling that I wanted to spread my wings, go and do something really brave and exciting. And I thought I saw myself as like a war correspondent or something quite cool like that. But I think in the end, I probably just wasn't brave enough to do that. So life coaching is where it ended up. So now I'm based in London and I've lived here for 6 years. Will I stay in London? Who knows? The benefits of having your own business, I suppose, means you can go anywhere. So yeah.
Absolutely. And we've kind of really found that out, I guess, over the last couple of years with what's been going on. Which brings me to the point you kind of set up in the middle of that pandemic. But before we even go to that, you set up being a life coach. But, you know, as I said in my introduction, you're actually quoted as saying, "I'm skeptical of coaches." So do you want to give us a bit of insight? What kind of turned you round? And
it's kind of a funny one, because I think I always thought that in terms of when it came to seeking support, people just went to therapy. I thought that was it. And life coaching was this sort of woo-woo California thing that people did on the beach, and I didn't really understand what it was, to be honest. And so I was very skeptical. I didn't see how it could work. When people talked about self-responsibility, I just didn't really see what that was. And then in a charity I used to work for, every part of it was run through coaching. So whether it was your one-to-one with your manager, or whether it was a team meeting, or really onto the, you know, sort of the front lines of where we worked with young people, that was all done as coaching and group facilitation. And I remember the first time that I was coached, I had to literally eat my words, because I was sat there and I was like, oh my goodness, this is going to change my life. And it was just the most crazy experience, because I was like, no, this cannot be, this thing that I was so skeptical of, how is it doing this? And so that was kind of in a one-to-one session, and then within that we also did group facilitation, and I was like, oh my gosh, how can you do this? You know, you avoid conflict, people are open with one another, And I was like, this is what I want to do. And I just knew at that moment, like, this is it.
And was it coaching on anything specific, Jessica, or was it just revelation in general, the way it was kind of, you know, the whole process of it, I guess, and what comes out, you know, encourages you to kind of take on board and express?
It's like, I think that very first session, I mean, the whole coaching program was about kind of developing leadership skills. And, you know, that's a fairly, what I would say, quite soft introduction to coaching that lots of people get. But I remember we were talking about sort of different personalities in the workplace. And I think a lot of the time when you work in the charity sector, for example, people are very caring and loving and kind, and they care a lot about what people on the team think, and it's just very inclusive, which is obviously such a wonderful thing. But I have quite a fiery personality who just wants to get things done. I think I'm very organized. I just want to get to the end goal. And I didn't understand why other people weren't like that. And I was like, why are we caring about all this other fluffy stuff? I just want to get the job done. And that very first coaching session, it brought up, you know, accepting the parts of me who I was, but also being able to understand others and see things from their perspective. And I then thought to myself, well, this isn't just applicable in the workplace. This is also applicable in my personal life. And I was like, oh my goodness. Yeah, this is so powerful.
Because you've now, as a life coach, you, am I right in saying you specialise in what is, I think on your, you know, you've said to me, in self-love and relationship. Mm. What does that actually mean to those who are listening today?
It's a funny one, because I feel like particularly that first bit when it comes to self-love, people are like, that's such a weird concept and don't really get it. But really what it means is, I think everyone sort of knows what it would be like to go to a relationship therapist or counselor or whatever, marriage counseling, things like that. But I think really what I do, which is maybe a little bit different, is I think the core of my business is the principle of, in order to have strong relationships in our lives, the strongest relationship has to be the one that we have with ourselves. And so that's sort of where that self-love element comes into it. And I think people also have this misconception that, oh, you just help people find love or get a boyfriend or get married. And I'm like, if that's one of your goals, great. But actually, we're in relationship with everyone, your colleagues, your family, you know, friends, all of this. And it's really about how to do relationships well and how that also, you know, how we also respond to that on an individual level as well.
Ah, interesting. So what kind of people are coming to you? How's that sort of kicked off in terms of, you know, the kind of engagement? Is it mainly women? I mean, you talked about, you know, you want to support women, but is it only women that are coming to you?
Yeah. So initially I very much was like, I only want to work with women because I'm so passionate about them. And majority of the time I do work with women. And so I would say I work with sort of millennial women up to sort of, you know, sort of university age up to maybe 40s. And how that works is, you know, most of the time I think they're, you know, very ambitious, very driven, just that very sort of fast paced living. But they see a disconnect when it comes to sort of their love life, or a lot of the time it's about relationships with their parents or their siblings. So that's kind of where they first seek support, is they're kind of like, oh, I've got a problem with this. And then sort of the underlying things we often talk about are, yeah, I feel like I don't deserve to be cared about, or, you know, my relationship with my dad is really affecting me now. So what seems like a sort of surface level, yeah, I've got a problem, is actually something much deeper. And that's sort of, yeah, so the demographic of most of the women that I work with.
And, you know, I said, again, in my intro about, you know, there was a traumatic experience with a friend of yours. I'm presuming then you kind of, well, you have an innate sense then, and you can draw on those experiences and empathy with your clients because of what you've kind of been through, i.e. with your friend and supported them through.
Yeah, and I think that's a really, I mean, it's a sad kind of factor of life for so, so many women that they've experienced, you know, whether that's harassment in the workplace or whether it's, you know, like my friend, you know, sexual assault or, you know, so many of these things which as women we come together over these times but we don't know to come together until we know that someone else understands us. And I think really just throughout, you know, I think from being in school and even into university, I just met so many women who had been through those experiences. And I just thought, we are so young to be going through this. And I just thought, this is going to change the trajectory of their lives. And I just said, you know, that's completely unfair that this is happening. And actually, I just knew sort of from that time, I was like, it should be an even playing field. And we should be able to have the same experiences of love and close relationship and connection as everyone else. And just because something has happened to us, which maybe we perceive as our fault, even though it's of course not, you know, we should be able to still accept love, give love, and experience all of those things that I think, you know, life is about human connection.
I think in so many circumstances, I think as women, we intend to blame this. We feel like we need to level some blame on ourselves regarding the situation has been or what experience we've gone through. I don't kind of know why that is, but it's like, you know, we're not blameless. I just wanted to go back to the fact that this is a new business for you and you took this leap at the beginning of the pandemic. Now, what possessed you to do that? Were you crazy? Were you insane? But
so funny, because so many people, I remember when I was like, I'm gonna do it, and people were like, you are crazy, you are brave, and they're like, why are you doing this? And I heard all of those things, but it's funny because in my head, once I decided, it felt like the most rational, normal thing. I was like, why don't more people do this? So it's funny that there is, because looking back, I do realize it was a bit crazy, it was quite risky, but at the time it felt so right and I just knew I had to do it. So basically at the beginning of the pandemic, like so many people, I was put on furlough. And I really told myself, you know, this is not a time to sit around watching TV. Like, you have to keep your mind stimulated. You have to do things that are going to help you grow and kind of help you in the future. And then I remember, because I was at that point, then I was doing lots of coaching, I was working on my qualifications. And I remember getting the call that was like, oh, we're gonna, you know, get you back to work. And I was like, no, I don't want to come back to work. I want to keep on coaching. And I just knew at that moment, I was like, I have to leave. I can't stay doing something quite half-hearted. So a few months later, then I did hand in my notice and I left. And I was, up until that point, I was like, this is such the right decision. I felt so much peace and calm. And then I remember on that first Monday, opening up my laptop, and I literally thought, what have I done? What am I going to do now? And it is quite scary because it's just you on your own. And that's when I was like, maybe I'm crazy.
So you said to me in our first chat, you said, you know, it's been a massive learning, you know, this first year. So would you like to share some of those challenges and learnings that you've experienced?
Oh gosh, I mean, I'm sure you will probably say some similar things with your business, but I think one of the biggest things is when you first start, you are everything. So you are, you know, for me, yes, I was a coach, but I was also the website planner, I was doing all the marketing. I was actually my own photographer. You know, I'm my own accountant right now, all of these things. And I think I always knew that would be the case, but also at the same time, I really didn't understand what went into running a business. And that was pretty, pretty scary at times because I was like, am I going to get in trouble with, you know, HMRC, those kind of things? Because, you know, no one talks about it. And, you know, so that was quite hard. But I think then there was, whilst there's so much freedom in running your own business, you know, I could be anywhere, do anything. There was also this amazing, but also hard feeling of the responsibility is all mine. You know, the very simple fact is, if this business doesn't work or it doesn't make money, I'm not going to make any money. And then what happens, sort of thing. So there's those sort of harsh truths, which I had to sit with for a while, because I think I had this expectation of, I've started my business, clients are going to queue up to work with me. And of course, that doesn't happen. And there was definitely a few moments where I was like, oh gosh, this is harder than I thought. Mm-hmm. But then I think it's about getting to a place where you find your feet. And I think that beginning sort of, you know, beginner's luck, so to speak, of you feel so high, you feel so elated, and you know you're doing something you're so passionate about. It then sort of went into this stage for me where we were just kind of coming out of COVID restrictions, really. And everyone else was just going back into work and all of those things. And I was like, I'm still sitting in my living room working. It feels like everyone's life has kind of gone back to normal, but my life is not going to go back to the way it was before. And that felt like a weird experience as well.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, a lot of people, well, myself included, you know, when you start a successful business, but a lot of people I speak to, so one of the things is they can get overwhelmed. As you said, you know, suddenly you realize you've got to do, there's so much you've really got to think about. It's not just you've got an idea or you've got a product, it's then everything that goes around setting up your business. So how you come across quite a calm person, but how did you cope with that, particularly being on your own, you know, when it's all like coming at you and you're like, whoa, I've got to do all this?
Yeah, I do think, you know, even, you know, to be honest, that is something that I feel like I wish I had. Oh, you know, there's this one size fits all kind of solution, but actually it's still things which I feel like I still get overwhelmed now by things. Like even recently, I feel like things have been so busy, which in one hand is so wonderful, but I'm like, oh, this feels quite weird and exhausting. And so I think, you know, I think the first thing is that being overwhelmed or having loads of ideas and not knowing what to do with them, or at the same time, everything's so quiet, you know, either one of those, feeling overwhelmed, I think is a completely normal experience of being a business owner. It's, you know, it's going to happen to each of us in ebbs and flows at different times. And I think there's that sort of, it's okay that this is happening. It's okay that you feel that way. And I think the one thing that I've learned to do is to know when it's time to take a rest. And I think I used to think that having a break was about giving up. But actually now I've realized that once you have a break, you come back more rejuvenated. And I think that's, that for me, it really, really helps to kind of get back into things once I feel quite stressed by life, I suppose.
Because I was just thinking, you know, as a life coach, and you've talked about self-love, and I was thinking, do you land, is it very easy to give yourself your own advice? It's like
I wish that were the case, but I think it's something, you know, I'm sure we say this across all of these sort of coaching niches or whatever, is that we are all our own worst critics and we're all our own worst enemies. So sometimes I see my clients going through such breakthrough and I'm like, wow, I really should take your words on board into my life.
So we've talked about the fact that you particularly want to focus on women in sport. What do you find is particularly an area that women need help on? I mean, there's lots of talk, isn't there, about, you know, women going into business, particularly on their own. You know, it's that sort of, you know, lack of confidence and that kind of, or imposter syndrome. I just, you know, wondered, you know, that there is so much about it out there, but I wonder what your experiences are and the kind of, you know, I guess the challenges women are facing with and how they're feeling, particularly, I think, possibly through this whole pandemic time, this time of working from home, being furloughed, maybe they've lost their job, you know, having to be in a house working from home with their children or whatever. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, as you were saying that, the first thing that came to mind was this article that I'd read, which it sort of seemed like this two-pronged, the first saying, you know, I think it was at some stage last year, 1 in 4 new businesses were being run by women. And I was like, that's amazing. But also within the kind of main point of the article was that women's sort of career progression and responsibilities at home due to COVID have been pushed back to almost equivalent of the 1950s.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, so we are doing all of this amazing stuff, but also at the same time, our worlds have been getting so much smaller because of COVID. And whether that is staying at home looking after children, or whether that's, as you say, being put on furlough for a long time, and kind of the lack of, and I even felt this myself, it was, oh, other people are coming back to work, but you don't want me. And so those sort of feelings that people expressed, or maybe they lost their jobs, and all of this sort of undermining of confidence and our ability of how far as women we've come. And I think that, you know, cannot necessarily be looked at in silo, because it's not just to do with business. I think it also affects the confidence thing that we bring into relationships or with our friendships. Mm-hmm. I've seen really in recent times so many more of my clients are expressing sort of sentiments of jealousy around, oh, she had such a great time during COVID and her career progressed and, you know, all of these things. And I think it's almost put us back in terms of putting women against one another. And that's something which has come up quite a lot, which I feel is such a shame, because we really need each other to support one another. And I feel like we're letting that patriarchy win, aren't we?
Wow. Yeah, that's really interesting. I was speaking to someone else recently, and they were saying there was an element too of, you know, going on to, you know, forums or networking sites, and also just out there, I think generally is a lot of people going, oh, you know, I've done so well during COVID, my business is boomed, I'm doing, they all seem terribly upbeat, and it's all like everyone's being successful.
Yeah.
And it's having that knock-on effect, not that the person that's, you know, the people who have spoken to me have said that they've got to the point where they're like, well, am I the only one who's actually not doing really well? Am I the only one whose business is going up and down? You know, or I've lost focus, or I don't have a job. And so it's having, it's instead of making them motivated, they're actually thinking, I just want to switch off, because they're feeling paralyzed, because there's too much of this kind of hype around, oh, everyone. I think it's a bit like maybe when the pandemic first started and everyone was kind of like, oh, well, you will use the time, you can write a book, you can take on a new course, learn a language, and it felt like everyone was going to be some sort of superhero and do something incredible, whereas actually in the reality was a lot of people sat there and thought, I don't know what to do, I've just kind of lost.
And I think the kind of point you raised there is, yes, it was so heightened by COVID, but I think it comes into this overall thing of, we only talk about things when they're going well. And I think this is something for men and women, is when times are hard, we still find it so difficult to talk about it. And I think, you know, the most important thing that I've learned is, when you feel like everything is falling apart, you do need people around you to support you, to love you, even just to say, I don't know when, but things are going to be okay. But actually, if we don't have that, and we just see these shining beacons saying, everything's great, my life's amazing right now, you feel so alone and so isolated. And actually, I think in some ways, by joining a lot of these forums, I feel like some people in some ways are bringing that honesty and saying, hey, I'm not okay. And it's okay if you're not too. And that's where I've seen the really, really powerful conversations take place.
Yeah, I definitely, with some of the conversations I'm having, and, you know, as I'm setting up series 4, I'm talking to a lot of women and as my potential guests. And it is quite interesting that suddenly they are, I think they've got to the point where, you know what, I'm just going to say it as it is. And it's not all, yeah, we're all, you know, jumping up with joy and it's all great and we're, you know, cashing in left, right and center. Actually, it's still hard work, it's always hard work, and just at the moment I'm feeling a bit drained by it all. You talked about, you know, supporting women, and it's really important to get support as a man or a woman. I'd like to know obviously as myself, as a mentor, but I'd like to know what sort of support you've had perhaps through your career and also during particularly setting up your own business, and how important has that been for you, and has it been for you?
Yeah, that's such a good question, because I think it's something that when I was thinking about kind of what career I wanted to go into and stuff, looking back now, I realized there was not really any support. And I remember in my first job, I was very, very badly managed. And I didn't know what to expect of a manager or someone, you know, I just had no idea. And so I remember the first time I had what I would call a really good kind of mentor, I was just overwhelmed by the level in which she committed to me. And I remember she sat me down one day and she was like, "Why do you have such small expectations?" I was almost offended. I was like, "What do you mean?" And she was like, "Jessica, you could be the CEO of a business one day and you're thinking about me moving up one role in the next like 5 years." And she was like, "You are just not looking at this with perspective." And I remember, as you know, as I said, I was just so overwhelmed that someone saw that potential in me. And I think that's when I started to think, yeah, I see this potential in so many of my friends or other women that I meet. And actually, I now start to call it out in people, because I know the power of calling out something. So it might seem so minute, but actually that could spark something in them. And I think that's just so important, because also I think as women, we tend not to compliment each other. We tend not to kind of, because we see each other as competition in so many places, we sort of almost see like, if I shine a light on you, it takes a light away from me. Whereas actually I think, you know, there's enough light for everyone, and we've got to help all of us get under the lights, so to speak. Mm. And I think that was really important. And then obviously I've worked with my own sort of life coaches and business coaches and things like that. And what I find quite different about coaching is, yes, there are times when they call out things in me, but a lot of the time it's me having the responsibility and looking inwards and seeing those things within myself. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know I had this in me. And it's funny, because I remember one day I woke up and I was like, maybe I am a confident person. And it was just this weird sort of thing where I was like, maybe I can believe in myself. And it just, I think, was because of having so many people around me who supported me, but also being able to facilitate that thought process within myself. I was like, maybe I do believe this. And it's like that quiet voice, which then got a little bit louder. And I was like, oh, maybe I am, you know, going to be good at my job and all of that kind of stuff. And I was like, surprise.
Yeah, it is that word powerful. I mean, it has happened to me in my life too. You know, when you don't, you do doubt yourself, you don't think you can do something, and someone sees that potential in you, and they either put you in a situation, and I don't mean in a scary way, as in like you're way out of your comfort zone, but they do push you, but they can see what you can't see, and actually, you know, or they'll tell you things, and then like you, and you think, oh, no one's ever said that to me, no one's ever spotted, and you're not looking at it for yourself, because you, as you say, you don't look at yourself inwardly and go, oh, yeah, I'm so great, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. I mean, I guess some people do, but I think women generally, and someone needs to light that spark, don't they, you know, in you, for it to grow, and then you kind of go, yeah, you know what, I'm going to, oh, I've done that, that was incredible, you know, all right, I can, and then go on to the next step and the next step. So, yeah. Mentor or a coach. By doing that, I love that you're saying seeing your own potential, and the fact that we have small expectations. I like those two phrases, actually.
And it is so, I think, important when we think about, you know, kind of where we're at, but also how we can support those who maybe, I don't mean it in this way, like a lower rung than us, but sort of those we can, you know, support, and you know, maybe they're younger than us or whatever. And the thing that I see actually from a lot of my younger clients is this internal narrative they have of they have to do everything, that they have to be like the breadwinner of the family, but they also have to be the mother. And they have this idea that they need to be the superwomen. And it's kind of that immense pressure that they put on themselves, of almost their expectations for themselves are so, so high that it's like this crushing weight. And I think that's something that I wonder sort of as a generational difference in seeing them. And I'm thinking, gosh, when I was younger, there was no expectations. It was like, yeah, you'll probably just meet a nice man, you'll get married, you can work part-time. And so my vision for what my life would look like was quite different, I think, to what's changing and kind of coming up next.
That is interesting. But being as you are very young, but I would say that actually you can coach. I think it works really well sometimes, that whole thing when you do have an older person, you know, like you might say in a corporate situation, you coach up, you know. And I think if you're a leader or a business person, and whatever your age is, I think for me, I've learned that you meet, I love actually interacting with younger women. Well, you know, that's not difficult, but, you know, younger women, because they do have amazing experience. And I think what happens then is people, they're looking at things differently because they are coming from a different background. But that should regenerate. It regenerates me and completely refreshes me and keeps me looking at things in a fresh way, you know. So I actually do think it can work both ways. It'd be interesting as your business continues, and to see if you do the kind of, you know, if you get maybe older women to come to you. I'm just meeting more women now in their probably late 50s into their 60s that actually are, they want to start again. They've got a lot of a lot to give, and they might have come out maybe from the corporate world, but actually they don't want to stop. They maybe, it's for the first time they can think, I want to do something of my for myself, and they yeah. need the same thing though. They just need that boost of confidence that they can do it. And I think then mixing with younger women and younger people, it does really give you that energy. And if they see you, that's even more inspiring.
Yeah.
So
I think that's so beautiful, because it's something that I've seen kind of more and more looking at, you know. I hate it when we put things with age, but yeah, I suppose I have to say older women. And I mean sort of like 60 plus, and they have so much energy, as you said, and they want to do so much. And there's this idea of sort of, I think ageism is such a huge thing in our society, where it kind of like, you're on the shelf, you've had your kind of heyday, and let's just focus on, you know, the really young people. And I'm like, no, let's look up that wealth of experience and put that into all of that passion that they have, and, you know, put it together. And I think, yeah, I think I'm really going to take on board what you said there in terms of the kind of combining of the two energies, I think could be really powerful.
Yeah, I've really found that, and you know, in my personal life, in my business life, but also through my mentoring and with the Princess Trust, you know, I meet, they're all younger people, obviously, that come through. But, you know, I've said this before, and I've been quoted as saying this, but, you know, they come to be inspired, but they always leave me feeling inspired.
Yeah.
Every single time. And, you know, I find it absolutely refreshing. And so, you know, I get a big buzz out of it. And yet I'm the mentor and they're the mentee. But, it, you know, it truly felt like that. So I think, for me, it should be, let's join forces in any which way we can, because we kind of, at whatever age, we need that bit of something else, you know. I think it's really important. Yeah. Now, Jessica, I know you've had a really, really busy 12 months, obviously setting up your business and everything. So what do you do to kind of, I always like to ask people kind of what their hobbies are. What do they like to chill, you know, how do you chill out?
Well, it's funny that you say chill out, because I often find the things that really recharge me are sort of not necessarily distracting things, but like I love running. I really got into running during lockdown, which I suppose everyone did. So earlier this year, I did my first half marathon, which I loved. Yeah, I was like very impressed with myself. I really love spin classes. That is another like huge adrenaline rush. And then I love being in nature. I think that for me is the biggest R&R. It's just, you know, it takes you into such a peaceful place. It's where my most creative thoughts happen. I love food. I love cooking. That for me is also hugely relaxing. And it's funny actually, because when I think about the times that I've felt the most alive but calm, because I do think they're sort of things which often we think feeling calm can't be the same as feeling like excited, but I often think they can go hand in hand. It really is, you know, at my parents' house, cooking something, glass of wine, there's the dog, really nice conversation in the kitchen. I'm like, that for me, it's just the simple things.
Yeah.
I'm like, just give me good food, give me good company.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I definitely, I think being outside, you know, that fresh air, I've really got into this whole breathing, this deep breathing thing. I find that incredibly, as you say, it's both stimulating, but it's calming. And physically, it's really, really good. But yeah, I like nothing more than, you know, my son runs Relish Lifestyle, amongst other things. That's his sort of sideline. And we both love to cook. So yeah, there's nothing nicer than cooking, and you've maybe got some music on, or you're chatting, and definitely you'll have to have a glass of wine.
Yeah. Yeah, it just completes a little bit of the picture, doesn't it? Nice, yeah.
So you're not quite a year, is that right? So you're not quite a year with Jessica Elizabeth Coaching. So what is the future? Have you got any action plan? Is there anything you can share with us?
I mean, right now, all of my action plans are in my head. I've not really done anything about them. But I think something that I've noticed is missing, and this is from speaking to so, so many women, is there are so many people who are really, really passionate about self-development, but they're also really passionate about current affairs. And I feel like there isn't a membership or something which sort of combines the two. And that's sort of what's in mind right now. And then maybe, you know, we could add in every once in a while, you know, like a wine tasting or cocktail making or a spin class, you know, just, I think, to bring these groups of women together who have so many of the same interests, because I think there's this idea that women keep their friends from school, university, their first few jobs, and then they stop making friends. And I find that crazy, because yeah, I mean, you're shaking your head, because I think you can make friends at any age, but so many people are like, I don't have room for any more friends. I think that's insane.
I have to say, I absolutely think that's the most terrible, terrible comment to make, because that it's almost like you're closing a door on anyone you might meet. Yeah. Could possibly you get on with that could become a friend. And yeah, I just really do not understand that. And for me, it's almost been the opposite. You know, I don't really have, interestingly enough, I don't really have what I call really long-term friends from actual school. I mean, there might be one or two, but there are people that I met probably at a certain time in my life when I was young and probably at school or whatever. But we have kind of continued, but I constantly make new friends. I will not do that, you know. I mean, you know, and I think there's friends on different levels. I think that's what you've got to be realistic about. They're not friends you're necessarily going to see every single day, but then, like, we have very close friends, all of us, but you might only see them every once in a while because of where you live, location, all that kind of stuff. I'm with you on that.
So true.
Anyway, you've got a few plans and a few ideas there. So we'll have to get you back, Jessica. Definitely.
Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah. Now we're coming to the end, but I'd like to just ask you, would you just like to share with everyone how they could get hold of you? They would like to talk to you and find out a bit more about your coaching programs.
Yes, so I would say the best way to do that is through Instagram, if they have it. And my handle is just JessicaElizabeth_coaching, or alternatively, through my website, which is unoriginally also JessicaElizabethCoaching.co.uk. And I am, I just love chatting to people. So if you're like, oh, you know, I found that interesting, we can just have a natter, because as I think, you can never have too many friends.
That's brilliant. Now, before we close, I always like to ask my guests, what one piece of advice would you give to anyone who was perhaps thinking about taking the step that you've done? I know it's still early days, but is there one piece of advice, or it doesn't just be one, but.
Ooh, that is a tough one. The first thing that comes to mind is, I don't quite know how to phrase it, but it's around, we have a plan and we have where we think we're going to go. And I think that's really good and really important, but be prepared to chuck that out the window and take opportunities as they come up, because you have no idea what opportunity could lead to something better, could lead to something more crazy and exciting. But if we're so stuck on this particular path, I think sometimes we can be blinkered from those opportunities.
Good piece of advice. And I would just like to add to that and say, even if those opportunities come along and you don't feel you're ready for them, just put them to one side, but don't let them go, because it might be, you can't do it immediately, but you could do it in weeks or months, or it might even be years, depending on how big or the size of the opportunity. But you're absolutely right. Don't let them go. Don't be too. There is a way of managing that.
Exactly. And I do think in some ways what you said, which is maybe a second point, is comes into like boundaries, and some boundaries you kind of have to be flexible with, and you say, no, not right now. But no, not right now doesn't mean no, never. And actually, you know, you've got to keep open-minded as to what could come up at, you know, any time.
Well, Jessica, thank you so, so much for being a guest on With Tracy. It's been brilliant. And I've not had a life coach on yet, so that's very exciting. Good luck with the next year. And please stay in touch. And come back and tell us maybe in 6 months' time or something how it's going. And if any of those new ideas have come to fruition, that would be really exciting to know.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. No, I'll definitely stay in touch. And thank you so much for having me. I think this podcast is so valuable for so many people. So thank you for what you do.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much.